Hey listeners, before we get to this episode of Problem Solvers, here is a word from our sponsor.
Coming up with a name for your business can be difficult. Finding a matching domain can be even harder. Don't settle for a website name that's kinda close. Show strength and brand continuity with a domain name that is the exact match to your business name. .inc, and that's inc as in I-N-C, .inc offers premium, instantly credible domains built for businesses of all sizes. Startups everywhere are switching to the domain ending that means business. From reset.inc to self.inc, a .inc domain will help put your brand alongside Fortune 500 companies like Facebook, PayPal, and Amazon. .inc is the domain that means business. For your business, establish your online presence by registering your .inc domain today. Visit entrepreneur.inc to learn more. Again, that is entrepreneur.inc.
And now, on with the show. From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Meg O'Hara's business has been entirely dependent upon the ski industry. But in a way that's a little different from most people in the ski industry.
I create custom artwork for ski resorts, heli lodges, and private ski chalets.
Meg is a landscape painter in Canada. So let's say you're relaxing at a ski resort in Canada and you look up and see a beautiful painting of snowy mountains on the wall. Well, Meg may have painted that. She's an artist who'd built a B2B business doing commissioned work for lodges and hotels, and Meg loves this work. She's a skier herself, and she's also early in her career, so she feels very fortunate to have found this niche. But then, when COVID arrived, every part of her business no longer made sense.
When COVID hit, every ski resort in North America shut down within maybe 3 days of each other. And I remember being on my phone and seeing that Whistler Blackcomb had shut down, which I've never heard of it shutting down ever. And then my entire Instagram feed was just resort after resort closing down. I was panicking a little. I'm not going to lie. I was definitely panicking. I'm still relatively early in my business. I don't have a huge team behind me. I don't have a bunch of advisors behind me. I'm figuring things out as I go along. This market that I've found and and flourishing in and loving is all of a sudden put on hold. The American border shut down. I had a work trip planned down to California, canceled within about 3 days of each other. I had three major projects postponed. I was in panic mode. I'm not gonna lie, I was panicking.
And there was good reason to panic. All of her business disappeared. All of it. Gone. No commissions, no money coming in, nothing for more than a month. So many entrepreneurs have been in a situation like this recently. The very fundamentals of their business seemed impossible. The thing that had sustained them suddenly disappeared. It's like the business equivalent of the rug being pulled out from under you. But I want to tell you Meg's story because of what she did next. Because she did not just freak out and drink herself under a table. Well, I mean, maybe a little bit.
I stepped back and, you know, let myself freak out for 24, 48 hours, drank a little bit of wine.
Which, you know, fair.
And then said, okay, some of the greatest ideas are going to come out of this time. Some of the greatest business ideas are going to come from this because everything's getting shaken up. If there was ever going to be an opportunity for me to pivot in an interesting direction, maybe it's now.
All true. That is all so true. And it's the way every entrepreneur should be thinking. Today, Meg's business has grown by many multiples. Her August was her best ever by far. And yet she's still doing the thing she loves. She's still painting custom skiing landscapes. So how is she doing this? How did Meg step back and rethink her business? And what lessons does it contain for every artist, every entrepreneur, everyone seeking a new plan in a time of uncertainty? Well, that is the story we are going to tell. Coming up after the break. If I have learned anything from talking to people for a podcast called Problem Solvers, it is that the human spirit has the power to overcome adversity. And that is what the Hartford believes too. With the right team, resources, and technology in place, they know that people are capable of amazing things. And in a world where employee needs are quickly evolving, it's more important than ever to have a partner who stands behind you as you look to make decisions that ensure you are providing the right support for your workforce. The Hartford is an insurance company, but it is more than that too. It is dedicated to helping you succeed. Their experienced teams will take the time to get to fully understand your company and help to design a benefits package that provides the best experiences possible for your employees. To learn more about how The Hartford can have your back as you solve today's problems and tomorrow's, then visit thehartford.com/futureofbenefits. Again, that is thehartford.com/futureofbenefits. The Hartford is the Hartford Financial Services Group, Inc., and its subsidiaries, including underwriting companies Hartford Life and Accident Insurance Company and Hartford Fire Insurance Company. Home office is in Hartford, Connecticut. All right, we're back. So before we talk about Meg reinventing her business, let's talk about Meg reinventing her business the first time. Because Meg did not originally set out to work as a ski painter. I don't think she even knew it was an option. She was young, early in her career, looking for ways to make money as a painter. She worked with some interior designers, did work for private homes and office spaces, random commissions, basically anything. And then she got the commission that changed everything.
I was commissioned by Sunshine Village, which is a ski resort in Banff. And they did a large commission for the hotel at the top of the mountain. It's the only ski in, ski out hotel in Banff. And I loved the experience.
And they clearly loved her. Meg, as you will learn later, is a real relationship builder. And she fully embraced what it meant to work with a ski lodge.
My meetings in ski boots, having business chats over apres and meetings on the chairlift.
So someone at that ski lodge told someone at another ski lodge, and then Meg had her second ski commission, and then another, and then another, and then she was really in business. It was great. She loved it. I mean, total dream job here. Until COVID came along and shut down the border between America and Canada, and ski resorts were closing, and her business just came to a screeching halt. Because if nobody's skiing, then money in the ski industry becomes tight, and commissioning original artwork is suddenly something nobody has the budget for. So Meg's income disappeared entirely. And this is when Meg started freaking out, drank some wine, and then tried to shake herself loose.
I sat myself down, gave myself a pep talk, and said, well, it's all a matter of perspective. So don't look at this as a terrifying experience. Look at this as an opportunity that you can proactively create a better path for yourself and pivot quickly. And I did an thought exercise and was like, what would you in a year, what would you have wanted to do at this point? And how can you pivot and create something better for your business than the path that you're currently on?
Well, so take me through that thought exercise.
So I knew that all of the corporate clients would be pretty much put on hold for a while. But I was thinking, I was like, well, okay, so what have other great clients looked like for me? And what do I have as a skill that I can offer? What problem is being created by this pandemic that I have a solution for? There are plenty of problems created by COVID that I don't have the answer to, obviously. But what do I have an answer to? What problem is being created as we speak that I can resolve and I can use my skills and I can do a great job at? And how can I hurry up and get on that as soon as possible?
So she broke it down. Number one, American skiers can't come to Canada where they love to ski. Number two, those skiers are spending way more time at home than usual. And number three, their ski trips for the upcoming season are canceled, which means that the money they were going to spend on that trip is now sitting in their pocket.
And then the solution that I found is, because I create custom artwork that is ski related. So the vistas that you see skiing. But I realized it didn't only need to go to the businesses. I'd been focusing so much on selling to ski resorts, heli lodges, hotels, all the businesses that are associated with the ski industry that I was missing a huge opportunity, which is selling directly to the skiers.
She'd done some of this before. Skiers had seen her work at the lodges and reached out directly, and she'd done commissions for them. But she never saw it as a big part of her business. She really thought of herself as mostly a B2B provider. But now, well, the lodges weren't buying artwork, but maybe the individual skiers were. The question was, how do you find them? And on this, Meg had an answer. She would reach out to the people she'd already done commissions for.
I just emailed some of my closest clients and said, this reminded them, this is what we worked on together. This is what I'm available for. These are the type of clients that I'm looking for. This is why I think I'd be a good value add for them.
And okay, so far, this is pretty standard stuff. I mean, I get emails like this all the time. I'm sure you do too. Maybe you've even sent a bunch of them. I'm sure I have. You know, the email that goes basically, hello, don't forget that I do this work and it would be awesome if you told someone about it. But I don't know. I mean, does that ever work? I don't think it's ever worked for me, sending or receiving. I get those emails and I think, oh, all right, maybe. I mean, I like you or I liked the work, but nothing comes to mind immediately. And I don't really know how to remember this. And it's not very inspiring. And so I just forget. I got to be honest. I just forget. But Meg, well, she did it a little different. She asked,
who are the top 5 people that you think I would be a good fit for? And then they come back and say, oh, actually, you know, this friend went to that heli lodge that you worked at. And this friend just bought a ski resort in Revelstoke. And this friend actually commented on my painting last time she was over. So then I say, okay, would you be willing to put me in touch? Here's an email template. You can copy and paste it and send it over to them, making the introduction, CC me, and I'll follow up directly. And then that, I think, I mean, honestly, if you ask, if you're prepared, and if you are a kind person, and if you do great work, if you're bold, and you ask for what you want, people are willing to help you.
Now, maybe you, like me, had some skepticism about what she just said at the end there. I mean, if you are bold, people are willing to help. Maybe, sometimes, but how much, really? If business was as simple as making bold asks, then we'd all just be sending each other emails all day, which I guess we are, but it doesn't always work. So what was Meg doing different? The answer is something that she did a long time before. Long before COVID, long before she knew she needed to turn to these people for help. And that thing that she did, that she had, it is something that I teased earlier in the episode. It's that she builds relationships. And this is about the most important thing anybody can do in business is build great relationships. And Meg has a lot to say about this. So we're going to dive into it. How to build relationships that last and that, whether you think of them this way or not, have a good ROI. So we're going to talk about that next. But first, a short break.
For business owners, saving time is everything because each minute saved can be put back into growing your business. So when you need a business loan, U.S. Bank makes the process quick and convenient. Meet with a banker or apply from anywhere with a simple and secure online application and get a decision in minutes. Save time with U.S. Bank so you can get back to what you do best, running your business. Apply today at usbank.com/fundmybusiness. Credit products offered by U.S. Bank National Association, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, we're back. So before the break, I explained how Meg rethought her business from B2B to B2C, and that the key to success came from leaning on relationships that she had built before. So how did she do that exactly? Well, it starts at the very beginning.
When I create a painting for a client, a private client, I love my job. I really do. I'm so grateful. And I work with amazing clients. So in the process of creating this piece together, it's very collaborative. So I have their ideas, they hear my ideas, we come together, we create the piece together. Yes, I'm the one who paints it, but we come up with it together. So usually by the end of a commission, we're friends. When I deliver a painting, pre-COVID, when I'm delivering in person, we'll sit down, we'll have wine. I'm still in touch with them, usually once a month, once every other month. I've become very good friends with pretty much everyone I create a commission for.
Back in normal pre-COVID times, building those relationships was just something Meg did. It was just in her nature. But now, as her work had dried up, she realized that those relationships were investments. Investments that she could now cash out in a way by asking these people to pause for a minute and think of people who might appreciate her work.
Yeah, and I wouldn't ask anything that's in, I wouldn't ask a question that I would find invasive to a client. It's only on clients that I have a really strong rapport with.
So she asked, and these old customers did what she asked. They recommended her to new people that they know, and soon Meg was getting new commissions, and then those new people were telling newer people, and she was basically doing what she had said at the beginning she was setting out to do. She wanted to solve people's problems in the way that she could. These people wanted to ski, but they couldn't. So she sent a little of the skiing to them. And in the process, she stopped being a B2B business and became a B2C business, where it turns out there's a lot more business, which is kind of obvious when you think about it, right? There are more people that ski than there are places where they ski. But in a pre-COVID world, Meg didn't have to think bigger like that. So she didn't. She did what she did. And now COVID forced her to seek new opportunity. And like so many other entrepreneurs, she discovered that there was always bigger opportunities out there. She'd just never been forced to look for them. And here's one other thing Meg did during this time. She started building new relationships. I mean, think of it. She created these great relationships months or years ago, and they became valuable in new ways now. And so now she's creating the next generation of relationships, ones that could become valuable in ways she can't even imagine, and that also go far beyond skiing. So here's how she did it.
I wrote a list that was interesting people in business. I'm in the business of art and skiing, but you can learn from anyone. I believe you can genuinely learn from anyone. So I wrote a list of people who I would want to have coffee with or have dinner with, who I thought we would get along well with, first of all. Second of all, who I could learn from in business. And I made it a goal to have an informational interview with 100 people on that list. And I figured people that were ahead of me in business were at home now. Usually they have wild travel schedules and they might be willing to talk with me. So I started reaching out through, well, any way I could, through Instagram, through LinkedIn, by randomly emailing, hoping I come across their email, asking through connections, not asking for anything from these people, just I found them interesting. I thought I could learn from them and I thought we would have an interesting conversation and get along. And I just emailed them asking for 15 minutes of their time to ask them 3 specific questions based on their career. And I've had one person say no. And you.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had a few people don't not reply.
Right.
But I had one person say no, but check back in 2021. So it's not really a no. And then, you know, from there, I'm going to these people and I just say, I come really prepared. Like I do all of my research for these meetings. And sometimes they're over Zoom and people give me 15 minutes of their time. And that's great. And that's all I need. I come with 3 specific questions and then I aim to get those 3 questions done. And then I have 6 extra questions in case they give me more time. And some of those people, I think most of them are further along in their career and they're pretty far along in their own business. And when they see someone who's young and early in their business and trying to learn and not asking for anything apart from knowledge, some of those connections that I've made have actually brought me, well, amazing mentors, amazing learning opportunities, and clients as well. And I set out to do that because I didn't have as much work as I usually did. And I just started reaching out to these people who seemed, Jason, I'm not kidding. Some of these people just seem so out of my network and that they would never give me any time a day. And I'm getting on the phone with these people who I genuinely admire and look up to, and they're giving me time when usually there's no way they would give me any time.
Meg's explanation there of why people said yes to her is that people like to help someone young and early in their career. And there's truth to that, I think. But there's more. There's more that she's not saying explicitly. So I think that I should. She's doing this research and she is communicating this research. And that means that when somebody sees her email among many emails, because I'm sure that anybody in a position of prominence, and I can speak from experience myself here, we get a lot of outreach and people want our time, and you don't have time to give to everyone, even if you do want to support young people who are early in their career. So what you end up doing is you end up weeding out the ones who just seem to be lazily reaching out to you. And then you say yes to the people who have really done their homework and who you feel like are going to be the most primed to take advantage of your time. Right? They're the ones who are going to be thinking the most and who are the most motivated and who just seem like the ones to bet on. I mean, time is a resource. You have to spend it wisely. And so I would rather spend my time with someone who is very clearly going to put it most to use. And she's doing that. I asked her what questions she was asking these people. And Meg sent me an email a few days after our talk with some specific examples. I have them in front of me. So she asked a VP at Lululemon, what are the best qualities of someone that you've ever worked with? She asked the founder of an airline company, if you were on the board of directors for my company, what would you want me to stop doing, start doing, and do more of? And she asked a VP at Fendi, your company has a reputation for excellent customer service to top tier clients. So if you were in my position, how would you make sure that each painting I create has the same level of VIP experience as your luxury clothing brand? These are questions that people are going to hear and say, huh, you spent some time thinking about this. And those are the people you want to talk to. So anyway, at the end of our conversation, I wondered this one thing of Meg, because I've wondered if so many entrepreneurs who have gone through major changes during this time, you know, we may have back in March or April been thinking about how to return to normal, how to return to pre-COVID. But at some point, after we discover new opportunities, do we want to go back? Do you think that your business will return to focusing largely on these venues, so to speak, that you had before? Or do you think that you've functionally redefined what your business is in these months that'll stay that way going forward?
I think it's been functionally redefined. I've had way more fun in the last few months working with these clients for doing pieces for their homes. I love the process of creating a piece just for these clients and working with them one-on-one. So even when the borders open, I think that hopefully we can all ski wherever we'd like. And I think that I will continue to do commissions for ski resorts and heli lodges. But I think my business has fundamentally changed, and focusing on private clients and building those relationships is where I'm going to continue to put my focus. I don't think it can go back.
Nope, it can't go back. We can never go back. But that's okay, because we can always go forward.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.